This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Karna Small-Bodman, former senior director of the National Security Council in the Reagan administration. She's also the author of numerous political thrillers, the latest of which is called Final Finesse. We want to get her thoughts today, 20 years to the day after Reagan's prediction of the Berlin Wall coming down came to fruition. And Karna, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg. You know, we are celebrating the fall of the Berlin Wall 20 years ago today, but you know, many of us are also remembering another day. The day was June 12th, 1987. Now, that was the day that President Reagan delivered his famous speech in Germany, which we all know, tear down this wall, right? What a difference a day makes, to quote a song. Tony Dolan, who was chief speechwriter for President Reagan, I worked with Tony a lot when I was there, and he wrote a great op-ed piece in today's Wall Street Journal. Your listeners might want to check it out, because he recalled some of the arguments that went on. Oh, people argued about that speech back and forth at State and the NSC. And his piece was sort of cute, because he remembered being in the Oval Office discussing this speech with the president, because they were putting it together, and how Reagan did another one of his Rich Little impersonations of himself. He used to do this. He'd impersonate Rich Little impersonating Reagan, nodding his head and saying, well. And anyway, he told Tony that he was going to say, tear down the wall. Well, one of my former NSC colleagues, Peter Rodman, wrote a great book called Presidential Command, and he recounts these objections. See, what happened at the time, State Department reaction was absolutely fierce. They said, oh, you can't say that. That would be really bad. Colin Powell, who was then Deputy National Security Advisor, he said the NSC would support State's position, which essentially was that this kind of rabble-rousing, they use those kind of words, would embarrass the West Germans, especially Chancellor Helmut Kohl, who had more or less made peace with the status quo. But you see, here's the problem. All the experts at State and NSC that weighed in were experts on Germany, but Reagan had something entirely different in mind. His audience was Mikhail Gorbachev. So, and in fact, Peter even wrote in his book, here's the quote. He said, I had moved back to the NSC staff by then, and to my eternal shame, I was one of those seeking extensive changes to the drafts, including the line, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I mean, it was amazing the way that thing got through. And in fact, there's another story that when Reagan was in the limousine on the way to the Brandenburg Gate to deliver the speech, he smiled and talked to his deputy chief of staff, Ken Duberstein, who was right there in the car with him. And he said, here was Reagan's quote, the boys at State are going to kill me, but it's the right thing to do. Indeed it was.
Karna, obviously a lot of wrangling going on back then. Was there any argument that Reagan needed to sway him, or was he just convinced all along that that was the right thing to say?
Well, he was convinced. In fact, many people will also remember back even before then. Reagan had a very definite view of the Soviet regime, and he stated it very clearly in previous speeches, because he never liked the containment policy of George Kennan, that sort of thing. He used to say that we shouldn't simply contain the Soviet bloc, but bury it. Remember, he used that word. And, in fact, there's another editorial also in today's journal where they quote Reagan when he said, what I'm describing now is a plan and a hope for the long term, the march of freedom and democracy, which will leave Marxism-Leninism on the ash heap of history. Now, he said that back in 1982. So, you see, he had always thought so much about the fact that freedom was the answer. In fact, I heard him say many times, he said to me a couple times, peace, people say they want peace, world peace. Peace is not the answer. You can have peace by just rounding up and jailing all the dissidents. No, he said the answer is freedom. Now, the interesting thing is to look back at who the naysayers were at the time. As the journal pointed out, 2 years before the fall of the Berlin Wall, Dan Rather had an interesting quote. Here's what he said. Despite what many Americans think, most Soviets do not yearn for capitalism or Western-style democracy. Well, Reagan had a different idea, as we all know. He always talked about freedom. Now, I think it's very interesting, Greg, to contrast Reagan's view and how you handle an adversary with what we've got going on today. you know, in contrast to Reagan's "we win, you lose," everybody's heard that line attitude. Unfortunately, I believe that our current president is on what I would call an appeasement track. Now, if you don't want to use that tough a word, I would maybe use the word naive. You know, unfortunately, it seems that Obama believes that if we're just nice to our adversaries, you know, sit down and talk to them, like Iran, who avowed to decimate Israel, for starters, you know, just sit down and talk, things are going to be great. But the trouble is, what Reagan knew was that totalitarian regimes see appeasement and conciliation as weakness, and they always try to press their advantage, you know, that sort of thing. Look also at the contrast of how Reagan supported Lech Walesa and the Solidarity Movement in Poland versus how President Obama wouldn't even support the thousands of students protesting the rigged elections in Iran. I mean, you've got the exact Reagan opposite in office today. That's my viewpoint.
Karna, from the earliest days of the Reagan administration, was there a belief that the collapse of the wall could come as soon as it did, or was that even at a more rapid pace than the most optimistic people envisioned?
Well, I know that they were hoping that this would happen, and there was a lot of talk about it. No one knew about the timetable, and of course, when it did happen, then it happened so quickly. There were a lot of other developments, not just Reagan's pressing, but there were a lot of other developments. We've seen it in the news. There were people over there that maybe spoke out of turn or said that they were going to allow more travel, this and that, and sort of miscues along the way. But once the first bricks came down and the people just rejoiced and pushed over, obviously the East Germans couldn't gun them down. And it came down. It was a long process. I don't think anyone predicted the exact day, but isn't it wonderful that Germany and everyone is celebrating the day today? I think it's great.
Karna, just last week, former President Bush, the elder, who was vice president, obviously during the Reagan administration, seemed to give most of the credit for the fall of the wall and the end of communism to Helmut Kohl and Mikhail Gorbachev. How does that strike you?
Not exactly the way I would say it. I really don't. As I said before, Helmut Kohl had more or less made an accommodation with the East Germans and with the status quo. That was a well-known situation, which is why the guy's estate didn't want to upset them, didn't want to upset the apple cart. They thought, that's the way it goes. We're going to have this, and it's going to stay there. No, I don't give him the credit. And in terms of Mikhail Gorbachev, sure, he was trying his perestroika and glasnost and various openings and so forth. But you also have to look at what caused the Soviets to have their power diminished and have their empire begin to collapse around them. And so much of that had to do with Reagan's moves, you know, getting the working with the Saudis to lower the price of oil so the Soviets didn't get the income, working with Lech Walesa and the Pope to, shore up the dissidents there in Poland, going ahead with our missile defense system and all of our build-up and so forth so that the Soviets would try to match us and their economy continued in decline. They couldn't keep up. All of these factors led to it. And if you had not had a Reagan in power, people could say, well, they would have folded anyway. I remember talking to Jack Matlock, who was our ambassador to the Soviet Union for 5 years, in fact, longer than most, and I asked him his opinion about when the Soviet Union would have fallen. He said, eventually, perhaps, but not for a long, long time, if it had not been for the efforts of President Reagan.
Karna, fascinating to look back, and especially with that firsthand perspective of yours. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Delighted to be with you.
Karna Small-Bodman, former senior director of the Reagan administration's National Security Council. Her latest political and national security thriller is Final Finesse. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.